Welcome to the CenturyLink Labs podcast with your host, Lucas Carlson. From Docker and Linux containers to programming languages and web frameworks, we interview technology and thought leaders around the world every week. This week's interview is brought to you by CenturyLink Cloud, the world's fastest self-service enterprise-grade cloud.
Hello, this is Lucas Carlson from the CenturyLink Labs podcast. This week, I've got a really awesome guest, Kenton Varda, founder of Sandstorm. Sandstorm is a really, really cool way of thinking about containerization and containerized applications. I first discovered it when I saw it on Hacker News, and once I saw it, I said, this is something to watch. This is something interesting because it's got a unique take. It's got a take that takes into consideration the security concerns, kind of the government spying that's going on, and uses containers in a really cool way to do a special twist on it. But it also has some of the ease of use concepts that I've always had close to my heart about how can we really help people get started building containerized applications quicker and taking advantage of them, using them faster. So I'm really excited to pick his brain a little bit, see how he's thinking about things, and see what he thinks is the future of Linux containers. So, Kenton, it's really nice to have you on. Can you tell us about your background?
Yeah, so I worked for Google for 7.5 years, ending at the beginning of last year. I worked on a few things there, search infrastructure for a while, helped launch Universal Search. For a while, I worked on sharing and access control for things like Google Docs. So, like when you click the share button on Google Docs, the stuff you see there, I wrote infrastructure to enforce it. I'm probably best known, though, for my work on protocol buffers, which is the data interchange format used by all of Google's servers to talk to each other and for a lot of Google storage. I didn't invent protocol buffers, but I rewrote it and I open sourced it. And now there's probably thousands of companies that are using it themselves, including people like Twitter and even Blizzard gaming companies.
Wow. That's really, really cool. It's awesome to build technology that's used in that wide way. So what is Sandstorm? Where's it come from? How'd you come up with it? And can you tell us some examples of what you can do with it?
Yeah, so for the past year and a half since I left Google, I've been working on a couple things. One is Cap'n Proto, a replacement for protocol buffers in an RPC system, and then Sandstorm is built on top of that. Sandstorm is a radically easier way to run personal instances of web apps. So it lets you have your own personal server and install apps to it entirely through a web interface, like you're installing apps on a mobile phone. But it's on your server. So there's no editing of config files or running commands at a command line. So an end user, like a non-technical user, could actually use Sandstorm and run apps on it. And you'd run apps like email or document editors or blogging platforms, things like that, anything that involves personal data that's owned by a particular user. Makes sense on Sandstorm.
Got it. So would you use Sandstorm on a cloud like Amazon or Rackspace or CenturyLink Cloud, or would you use it on your own laptop? How does that work?
So Sandstorm is open source, so you can run it anywhere you want. We think most users probably want to use it in the cloud and get the benefits of being able to reach their server from wherever they are, regardless of the current state of their internet connection. You wouldn't really want run it on a laptop, certainly, because a laptop is not running most of the time when you close the lid. But you could, and many users do want to run it on a machine on their home network for increased privacy. But what we hope to see is a combination of some users doing that and a lot of users using cloud hosting services. We plan to offer a managed hosting service ourselves for something like $5 a month to help fund development. So it's up to you. Awesome. And either way, I should say, either way, you can install whatever software you want. There are no limits on that.
Got it. And so how big is the catalog of software? What besides blogging and email applications, is this a, I guess, how long has Sandstorm been around?
Well, I started working on Sandstorm at the beginning of this year, so it hasn't been around for very long. It sort of became usable a few months ago, and we've been porting a lot of apps to it. So most of the apps that exist right now are things that we ported ourselves from open source apps. So since it's based on containers, we can take any Linux-based tech stack and port it to Sandstorm. So we have about 10 or 15 apps right now. There's things like WordPress and Ghost, our blogging apps. There's Etherpad and Ethercalc, our document and spreadsheet editors. We ported Apache Wave, which is formerly known as Google Wave. You can now run that on Sandstorm. And a number of other things like that. But you can go try out the whole list. If you go to demo.sandstorm.io, you can try installing any of these apps and see for yourself.
So it would be an alternative to using Sandstorm would be an alternative to doing like setting up Ghost or WordPress on your own machine?
Yes. It is much easier than setting it up yourself because it's just point and click. You click install and you now have the app running. It takes like 5 seconds to spin up a container.
So one of the things that I was super excited to talk to you about, you have a different kind of point of view about Linux containers than kind of mm-hmm. some of the trendy thing is to go with Docker. And Sandstorm is not built on Docker. So why not? Why did you decide not to go with Docker? And can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so Sandstorm uses the same Linux kernel features that Docker uses. But it turns out that there's not much reason for us to actually use Docker. Because what Docker does, so the Linux kernel features involved are actually pretty simple to use. It's only a couple dozen lines of code, of C++ code, that we use to set up our container. What Docker does is provide a sort of configuration layer on top of that and enough features to create completely transparent containers that you can, in which you can host arbitrary existing Linux distros. And that's not what Sandstorm is trying to do. Sandstorm is willing to say, okay, apps in our containers have to be tweaked a bit to understand our container environment. Like, they have to store their data under /var because that's the only directory that's going to be writable in our containers. Or they have to understand that procfs isn't going to be available for them to use because we want to turn that off to reduce the attack surface of the Linux kernel. So things like that. And in any case, apps written for Sandstorm, since they do need to have a user interface, like you can't just SSH into a Sandstorm app. The only way to for the user to configure it would be through a user interface and things like that. So apps really have to have been specifically packaged for Sandstorm to make any sense on Sandstorm. And if that's the case, then we might as well also just say, okay, well, we're going to set up our containers in this one particular way, and all apps have to conform to that. And at that point, it's really easy if you're just always setting up your containers the same way to just use the system calls.
So you wouldn't ever like set up a Hadoop cluster with a Sandstorm. It's not meant for kind of programming tasks. It's meant more for the web application tasks.
Right. Sandstorm is meant to run web apps for users. Unlike Docker and such, it has a user interface that's actually a web interface instead of a command line interface, and it is meant specifically for the kinds of apps that have private user data in them. So certainly Sandstorm, we do not see it as a competitor to Docker at all because it's a completely different use case that it's aiming at.
Got it. And how complex can the apps be within a Sandstorm? So you can do a WordPress application, but can you do multi-tier applications, or is this for what? How complex can you get if you're somebody who is thinking about developing apps for Sandstorm?
So can you define what you mean by multi-tier?
So can you have microservices, like a bunch of containers within Sandstorm that talk to each other, or is it are the MySQL and WordPress in the same container, or are they in multiple containers? Can you tell us more about the technical backend implementation?
Okay. Yeah, so if you are using something like MySQL, then you actually want to run that in the same container as your front end, because you don't expect users to understand what MySQL is and why they need to start that up. Though we do encourage apps to use SQLite instead, because when you have a small database and there's only one app talking to it, there's not a lot of reason to have a whole MySQL instance for that. Apps will be able to talk to each other. This is a part we're still working on, but they talk to each other through Cap'n Proto RPC. The idea there is we're introducing a user interface called the PowerBox. So the PowerBox is a way to introduce apps to each other. What it does is one app says, hey, I implement this Cap'n Proto interface. Here's an object reference implementing it. Passes that off to the system. Another app says, hey, I need an object implementing this particular Cap'n Proto interface. Ask the system for that. The system then displays a picker to the user saying, here are all the apps you can hook this up to. Which one do you want to use? The system is privileged with the knowledge of all of your apps without having to pass that on to the app making the request. So then when you choose one, you're implicitly saying that you want that app to have permission to talk to the other app. So there's no need for a separate permission question. And then the requesting app just gets that object reference and can start making requests to it. And so that's how you can hook up multiple containers to talk to each other. So you could imagine an environment where you do something like a more traditional distributed application that's going to do some big data crunching by basically creating a bunch of instances and hooking them up through Cap'n Proto RPC. But that's not really what Sandstorm's going for. It's more about user-facing apps.
Got it. And so does it do anything with the persistence layers? And if you're using a SQLite database, if a container crashes, or do you not have that problem? So, like, how do you deal with having persistence problems? What if the disk drive crashes? Is there backup, or is there something it does that way?
Right. So right now, the code we have runs on a single machine, and each container just gets a private slice of the file system. If you want to make backups, what you do is there's a button you can click in the user interface that just downloads a zip of the app storage, and then you can re-upload that later. We will develop a more sophisticated backup system for when you want to run Sandstorm on a cluster of machines. It will have actually not only written to the local file system, but also written to other machines before an HTTP request returns, so you know that you're not going to lose data if one particular machine dies.
Got it. That sounds awesome. So, like Flynn, which is a Docker-based platform as a service, you guys have chosen a crowdfunding approach to to funding some stuff. So you're almost finishing a $50,000 crowdfunding raise, and it looks like you're getting pretty close. But anybody listening, if you think this is cool stuff, please go support it. What are you going to do with the money? What are you doing with the crowdfunding, and what are kind of the goals you have for that $50,000?
I'm going to use the money to feed myself, mostly. And
the cat that I saw walking back there?
Oh, yeah, that's Garpley. He's a core Sandstorm team member, if you look at our front page.
Let's feed that cat, people.
Yes. Sandstorm, well, so software development is expensive.
Yes.
We do have to pay developers, so that's a big part of what we'll use the money on, and we'll probably have to raise money from other places as well. But that's the idea. And of course, if you pay into our crowdfunding campaign now, you are basically prepaying for service. If you choose one of these service perks, you're prepaying for managed Sandstorm hosting, which will become available early next year. We also have perks for people who want to self-host, things like T-shirts and stickers and such as well.
So it's kind of like an app store, consumer-y front end for developing containerized web apps. Is that So if people are interested in that concept, this mm-hmm. could be a managed version of that from real, some really smart people. How big is the team?
We have four people. There's me, there's two other developers who have been working on porting a lot of the apps and adding some new features. And there's my co-founder, Jade, who is our developer relations.
Cool. What are the biggest challenges that you see in adopting Linux containers today for regular people, regular developers, and corporations?
So it depends on what you're trying to do with them. One, I think, misconception a lot of people have is about security of Linux containers. There's sort of a conflict between security and transparency. If you want to have a fully transparent system that appears to the guest app as if it's just a complete Linux system running on bare metal or in a VM, you have to enable a lot of kernel features, which gives the container a large attack surface. And there are Linux kernel vulnerabilities found on a fairly regular basis that would allow an app inside that container to break out. Now, for a lot of people, that doesn't really matter. Like, if you're running apps that you more or less trust are not malicious, then you know, Docker's pretty awesome. You can run what feels like VMs a lot more efficiently than VMs. But you do have to keep that in mind, that if like Linux containers with all the kernel features enabled are not a good sandbox right now. So that's why in Sandstorm we actually disable a lot of Linux kernel features. We don't mount procfs, we don't mount sysfs, we use seccomp to disable a lot of system calls that apps really have no business using. And that way we can get closer to something that's not going to be broken quite as often.
Got it. So one of Sandstorm's benefits is that it's more secure than Docker?
Yes, because it has the smaller attack surface, it's a lot less likely that an app is going to be able to find an exploit and break out.
And where did the Sandstorm name come from? What does it mean, and where does it come from?
Sandstorm, it means, well, sandbox in the cloud.
Got it.
is one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is the app instances on Sandstorm are meant to be very fine-grained. So we think of it as like you can imagine a bunch of grains of sand flying around, and those are, we actually call our app instances grains, and so those are all the different apps flying around talking to each other and interacting. It's interesting, actually, our containerization is designed to allow super fine-grained instances, so not only does every user have their own instance of an app, but every document can be a separate instance for document-oriented apps. And there's a couple reasons why that's a good idea. One is so that Sandstorm itself can implement sharing on those, so you don't have to have every app have its own sharing model. And another is that if you have like one document that's public and one document that's super secret and you don't want anyone to know about, you don't have to worry that someone who has access to the public app might be able to hack through using a bug in the app to get access to the private document. Because Sandstorm is enforcing that security for you. But making containers that fine-grained, we have to do things like make sure that all of the apps, code and libraries and stuff are shared read-only among all instances, and aggressively shut down instances that aren't in use. Because like, if you have a per-user instance of an app, they're not going to be using it 99% of the time, so it shouldn't be running and using up RAM in that time.
Got it. Do you see a corporate version of Sandstorm in the future, or is this really for personal use?
We think actually corporations will have a lot of interest in this, because there's a lot of corporations that can't really use SaaS software as a service offerings today, because either You know, some of them feel that, say, Google is a competitor, so they don't want to use Google apps. Some of them actually can't due to regulations. In the United States, we have things like HIPAA, but in other countries, things are even stricter. Like in Germany, it's really hard to use or to put data on another company's servers because of the regulations there. So there's a lot of companies that really want to keep their data in-house on their own machines and have a lot of trouble maintaining that. Like, it's a lot of work. So we think Sandstorm will make a lot of sense for them, and we plan to eventually build an enterprise offering optimized for those environments.
Cool. What container projects, Linux container projects, are you most excited about? What are you watching? What open source projects do you think are very promising, and what should we be looking out for?
Well, I think Sandstorm is exciting. to be honest, I obviously know all about Docker, and Docker's pretty cool for the use case it targets. I haven't kept up enough on the other container projects out there.
Yeah, that's okay. Just curious if while you're developing Sandstorm, if you ever come up with, if you ever see some cool stuff, let me know, because I'm always looking out for cool technologies. So What's next for Sandstorm? What's the roadmap? Where's it all going?
Well, it looks like we're going to be funded. So next up, we have to build our hosting service, which we've been selling in the perks. So that means making Sandstorm able to use multiple machines and treat that as a single instance so that we can actually scale up to however many users we get. Implementing things like quota so that one user can't consume all our resources. But also adding features like the ability for apps to export APIs is a request that we've been getting a lot, because that will enable not only apps to talk to apps outside of Sandstorm, but also client-side apps. Like, you want a mobile client that talks to your server. There needs to be an API for it to talk to. And currently, the only way you can really access an app is through a browser, and it's not really possible to export an API through that path currently. So, and that's the thing about Sandstorm apps is, since they're intended to be sandboxed and intended to prevent leakage of data, we do not allow an app to just arbitrarily talk to the rest of the world. It does not get arbitrary network access. It has to go through Sandstorm's features for communicating, for like exposing an API or sending emails, for instance. And so we have to expand those features and make it easier to add new protocols to Sandstorm, which we're planning to do through a notion of cloud device drivers, which are really just more protocols that we support.
Got it. Do you think that, what do you think the future of Linux containers are? How are they changing the world, the technology world? Do you think that containers are going to take over virtual machines, or how do you think the balance of that's going to work out?
I think containers make much more sense than virtual machines for most use cases. Obviously, they're much cheaper. Like, why should you be running a whole separate kernel for every application? That's just a lot of waste, and all the emulation layer and everything you need there. There are the security issues, but I think over time that will improve. We'll find and fix the security holes, and we'll find ways to lock down containers better, like some things Sandstorm is doing. But long term, I think I would say that VMs won't make a lot of sense in a few years, because it's just a huge waste of resources to do what you could do with containers.
Got it. Well, I really appreciate your time. Is there anything else you want to tell us? Do you want to tell us about some of the stuff? If you do back the Kickstarter or the crowdfunding, you get prepayment on hosting. Are there any other perks?
Yeah, we have In addition to the hosting perks, there are a number of things like stickers, t-shirts. You can get App Store credit. Our App Store, by the way, is going to support a pay what you want model for open source apps, which we hope will help encourage more open source web app development. So you'll get credit that you can actually give to these open source apps in the future. There were seats on the app committee, which is going to direct our porting efforts, but they've been sold out. Unless you want to splurge for a key individual sponsorship level, at which point we will actually put your picture on our team page, and you will get an app committee seat and a bunch of other goodies. There's also a few LAN party invites left. You may have heard of my epic LAN party house. It's been on the internet a few times. If you ever wanted to come to one, buy a LAN party invite.
Nice. Where can you find information about the LAN party?
It's all on the campaign page. Just look at the perk list. It's one of the perks there.
Perfect. And where can people find more about Sandstorm?
Sandstorm.io.
Perfect. And where can people reach out to you on Twitter or Sandstorm on Twitter?
Yep, we are Sandstorm.io on Twitter. We are also on Facebook and Google Plus. If you go to Sandstorm.io, there's follow buttons for all of those. And yeah, feel free to also just email me if you have questions, Kenton@Sandstorm.io.
Perfect. Well, I really appreciate it, and thank you for your time. Thanks for helping us understand what you guys are up to, and appreciate having you on.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the CenturyLink Labs podcast with Lucas Carlson. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address, CenturyLinkLabs.com, to your friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out our archive section on our website for previous podcasts. This has been a CenturyLink production. Join us next time for another edition of the CenturyLink Labs podcast.